This is Digital Story Podcast number 679, March 19th, 2019. Today's theme is the chill and the thrill of night photography. I'm Derek Story. Having just spent nearly a week in the high desert, I can tell you that the nights are just as exciting as the days. As soon as the sky darkens and the stars come out, so do photographers with tripods and cameras in hand. After working with these late night shooters, I have some tips that might encourage you to bundle up and step into the starry night. All of this and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. Some of my favorite images from the Joshua Tree Photography Workshop were captured well into the evening. We really had a number of things going for us to make this happen, and I have to tell you, it really extended our ability to put together portfolios of nice shots. First of all, the Adobe Rock House, our headquarters, it was about 3,500 feet in altitude, and it was above the city lights of Yucca Valley, so that was really beneficial. Plus, we had these wonderful rock piles and Joshua trees all around us. So we didn't have to go, back into the national park at night. We could just go outside, and it looked like a national park right there where we were. There weren't any houses, right in our general vicinity there. We could test our settings, come back in, take a look on the computer, see how things were going, make some adjustments, and then just step back outside and do another round of shooting. So being able to work like this helped both the veterans and the people who were new to night photography really fine-tune their technique. And boy, I tell you, what they came away with was some magnificent stuff. And in fact, one of the images will be shared with the show notes. So you got to make sure that you go over and take a look at it. So while all of this was going on, there was a lot of information being shared. And of course, this is one of the things that I love about workshops. And I have 5 tips that I gleaned from all these conversations that I think you would really find beneficial if you're thinking about doing some night photography, or if you've tried your hand at it and maybe want to fine-tune your approach to this type of work. So here we go. I've got 5 really great tips for you. And we're going to start out with get the right lens. There are all sorts of ways that you can go with this, and some of them can be very expensive. But what I have for you is very affordable, and I can tell you for a fact, very effective, right? Because we have tested it. So you need a wide prime for effective star photography. You want to have a lens that covers enough area so that you can really get something that's impressive and at the same time is fast enough to let enough light in so that you can limit your exposures to 20 or 30 seconds or whatever is necessary. So you need a nice wide prime. A favorite among our group was the Rokinon 12mm f2.0 lens for Micro Four Thirds that you can find between $249 and $399 depending if it's on sale or not. It's very fast, it's 24mm on Micro Four Thirds, and it has enough light gathering power for the stars. Now if you can't find a good deal on the Rokinon 12mm f2.0, also check for the Samyang 12mm f2.0, which is essentially the same lens. Almost always one of them is on sale. You should be able to get it for less than $300. Now, I have links to both of those lenses in the show notes, so all you have to do is go to show notes, click on the links, and it'll take you over to both lenses. Find the one that's the better value, and then that's the one you can get. Now, being able to get a lens that's this fast and this wide for $300 or less is really helpful. If you compare it to, let's say, the Olympus 12mm f2.0 or the Panasonic or any of those, you're going to find that the lens is less than half the price of most of the competitive optics. And this also plays out true. These lenses are available in the Canon mount, in the Nikon mount, Fuji mount, and the Sony mount. So depending on what your mount is, you should be able to get a lens made by these folks, Rokinon or Samyang, that will get the job done nice and wide and nice and fast. And I'll tell you, once you have the right lens, then everything else becomes so much easier. A lens that isn't as wide, let's say one that's like a 50 millimeter, is probably fast enough, but it just doesn't cover enough territory to make the kind of impact you want. And then, of course, a lot of zoom lenses just don't let enough light in. This one, with a nice wide 24 millimeters and a nice fast f2.0, that's the ticket that will get you off to a good start with your night photography. Tip number two, test your infinity setting. So one of the things about the Rokinon or the Samyang or any of the lenses that I would recommend is that they have to have a manual focusing ring, and that ring must have an infinity marker on it. Okay. Now, the thing is, you would think that you just go to infinity and there you go, your night sky will be nice and sharp. But as we found out, and you know, all of us have kind of tested this in the past, and then we're testing it again during the workshop, is that infinity marker on a lens isn't always precise infinity. So what you have to do is test, and in the Rokinons, for example, if you rotate the lens barrel, it goes a little past infinity. So where do you go? Do you stop at infinity? Do you go all the way to where it stops? You know, that's the kind of thing you need to know. Our testing was, and this was consistent with all of these lenses, was that the best infinity, the sharpest infinity, was just a little past the infinity marker. So you need to test this. You need to just go outside, test it on the infinity marker, test it just a little bit past, and then test it all the way to where the lens stops. Compare those images on a computer screen, magnify them so you can really get a good look. Then remember which one gives you the sharpest stars and the sharpest image, and then that's the way to go in the future. And as I said, in our case, almost every time on these lenses, it was just a little bit past infinity. Tip number three, get the formula for star exposures. Now, what we were using as a starting point came from the article, Learn How to Shoot Stunning Milky Way Photos in 5 Minutes. I have the link to that article and to the video that goes with it in the show notes. That is an excellent starting point for, you know, kind of figuring out the formula and, you know, how you need to set your camera up before you go outside. The basic setup goes like this. Generally speaking, exposure is between 20 and 30 seconds, and that's wide open, in our case with a 12 millimeter lens. And ISO is between 400 and 1600, depending on the conditions. So essentially, f2.0, 20 to 30 seconds, then either 400, 800, or 1600 ISO. There are formulas that help you really determine the best starting point, but that is the ballpark. Do a few test shots, see how they look, and then adjust accordingly. But once you get the formula down, it just makes everything so much easier, and it's worth spending a little bit of time to, you know, read this article, watch the movie, and then do a little bit of testing. If you don't have a lot of time, you know, to work outdoors and you want to spend more time up front getting your formula down, if you have a little bit more time during the night, then, you know, you can use a starting point, take a look at the images, and then adjust accordingly. Tip number four, use your flashlight for light painting. Now, one of the things that'll happen is, and I think this is one of the hard things about when you're not in the high desert for night photography, is what do you do with the foreground? What do you have as a foreground? You know, you have a night sky maybe, but, you know, if you have like a bunch of garages and stuff in the foreground, you know, that is not very appealing. That's not nearly as effective as having like a yucca tree or a Joshua tree and nice big boulders and stuff like that. So, you know, you do want to find a place, if you can, where you have a decent foreground to work with, something that's, you know, relatively pretty. Now, if you don't want it to go all the way to silhouette, You know, if it is something that's interesting, then you can use your flashlight to do just a little bit of light painting during the exposure. Because remember, your exposure is going to be 20, 25, 30 seconds, something like that, with your camera mounted on the tripod, right? So you have a few seconds to do a little bit of light painting, and you don't need very much, just a few brush strokes with the flashlight on whatever the subject is that you want to add a little bit of texture to. You want it to show up in the composition. You want a composition that's a little bit more balanced, not just a starry night sky and silhouettes. So a flashlight for light painting really helps with this. And remember, just a little bit goes a long ways. You know, probably, you know, 1 second or maybe 2 seconds at the most with the flashlight. And then, you know, go back to the camera, let the shutter close and see how you did. If it's a little too bright, then use a little less light painting. If you want a little bit more, then add a bit. I think this really helps with the compositions, and I really like the shots that we did, that did a little bit of light painting on the Joshua trees. Then you have, like, the tree looks really nice. The background looks really nice. You have some rocks and boulders and stuff that are, you know, different tones. And you have a full composition, you know, not just a silhouette with a starry sky. Tip number 5, consider a clear night filter to help offset sodium vapor lights. So if you have city lights around you, or, you know, somewhere near the horizon where you're shooting, and if they are sodium vapor lights, then you can get filters to help offset that orangish yellow that is really too strong for most of our tastes. And it brings those tones back more to the bluish tones that we have in the rest of the night sky. Now, these filters are not too expensive, but they're not super affordable either. The one that I was testing is the Haida, H-A-I-D-A, 67 millimeter Nano Pro MC, multi-coated, clear night filter for $67. And I chose the 67 millimeter model because 67 millimeters is the front of the Samyang or the Rokinon 12 millimeter lens. So, you know, they're kind of a match there. $67 for this filter. Now, if you have LED street lights around you, like I do in Santa Rosa now, they're switching from sodium vapor to LEDs, then this filter won't help you. It's really great for sodium vapor lights, but it doesn't work on LEDs. So it would kind of pay to scout the area that you're considering, see what kind of city lights or what kind of light pollution you might have to deal with. If it is sodium vapor, these filters work very well. If they're LEDs, then there's really no need to invest in the filter, and you can just go ahead and shoot it with just the lens itself. So these 5 things will really, really help you out. Of course, you need a steady tripod. You want to use the self-timer or a remote release. Don't push the shutter button with your finger for a 20 or 30 second exposure, because you will move the camera slightly. So, you know, you can use your smartphone and use it as a remote control for your camera, or a cable release, or just set the self timer. You can just set it to 2 seconds or 10 seconds, just something so that you're not touching the camera when it starts the exposure. And then remember to get the right lens, test your infinity setting, get the formula for star exposures, have a flashlight so you can use it for light painting if you have a foreground subject that you want to highlight, and then consider a clear night filter to offset sodium vapor lights. You do those 5 things in addition to the tripod, in addition to not jarring the camera when initiating the exposure, and I have a really good feeling that you'll get some starry night shots that you truly appreciate. A recap of the Joshua Tree Photography Workshop. I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you after having spent this time with members of our virtual camera club. And there were a number of things that just really jump out at me. One of them is, first and foremost, the camaraderie. This is one of the things that you just really can't get any other way than spending time with your fellow photographers. And the amount of time we spend together really fosters, you know, this camaraderie. You know, we're up early in the morning because we go out for a morning shoot. And then, you know, we come back midday and we're working in lab during the middle part of the day. And we're usually sitting around a big table and we're looking at our images. We're sorting them. We're doing some image editing. We're comparing notes from the day. We're asking each other for help. We're picking up tips and techniques, and we're just telling, you know, stories about, you know, our lives and things that are going on. And it's really super enjoyable. Then we share our meals together, and that gives us other opportunities to get to know one another better. And then in the case of this workshop, you know, we're doing night photography. So then, you know, after we come in from the cold, then we're, you know, back at the work table, 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, everyone's getting a little punchy, but the dialogue still flows. And that is just something that is very difficult to get in any other situation. Another thing that jumps out at me is the support that happens for each other when we're doing the presentation, because each workshop member has to present 8 images at the end of the workshop. We do it on a big screen. You know, we make a big deal out of it. Everyone's in the room. The person that is presenting tells the story that goes with each image. Other people get to comment it. I get to comment on them. And then the next person goes. And a number of things happen during the presentation. One is you get to see how your images stack up against the other people that are in the workshop. And that really serves as a useful guide to, you know, where we are and how we're progressing on our own path with our art. But in addition to that, the comments are very supportive. We don't rip each other. We don't, you know, make fun of images. We don't do any of that stuff. We're really trying to appreciate the work that each of us are doing. And we're also trying to, you know, add suggestions when appropriate and really celebrate this wonderful portfolio of images that we have created together during the workshop itself. And that moment during the presentation, those moments during the presentation are very exciting for me. Again, really nothing like it. You can't do this online, not the way it is when you're sitting there with each other after spending all this time together. And then I would say the last thing that I really like is friendships form during these workshops. And, you know, we continue communicating after the workshop. Usually set up a group page for us to continue to share images and connect with one another. And I have seen time and time again over the years, people who really just like each other, or, you know, they resonate with each other. They meet at the workshop, and then suddenly, you know, they're planning maybe to do something next year or later on or a few months up the road. Say, you know, because they enjoy working together so much, you know, they want to do it again. And so these relationships, you know, that form during the workshop, whether they're online or whether you actually, you know, get to spend time together again, those are really special. And I love watching those. Those make me feel really good when I see that. So this is all the kind of stuff that happens during a photography workshop. And the Joshua Tree workshop was no exception at all. And, you know, it's funny. At the end of the day, when I really step back and I look at what's going on, it's amazing how little of it has to do with me, in all honesty. I mean, yes, I do a lot of planning, and yes, I build the framework for this event. And, you know, yes, I get everyone together. I do all of that stuff. But once I do that, and once everyone shows up, and we have the schedule, and we have the framework, and we have plenty to eat, and we have a place to sleep, once all those basic things are taken care of, then, you know, the people that are participating are the ones that really move this event forward. And I get to watch and appreciate that. And I have to tell you, for me, there's nothing like it, nothing like it at all. So I just wanted to give you a feel for what we, the nine of us, well, nine participants plus me plus our workshop assistant, what we got to enjoy. And I hope that someday you get to experience this too. I think it will take your photography in a new place. And I think it will take you just as an artist, a supported artist, to a new place as well. Nikon now includes the $250 FTZ lens adapter for free with the Z6 and the Z7. And this is via Petapixel, and I have the link in the show notes. If you shoot with a Nikon full-frame DSLR and have been considering a jump to the new Z series of full-frame mirrorless cameras, it's now easier on your wallet to bring your existing lens collection over with you. Nikon is now bundling the $250 F-mount to Z-mount lens adapter for free with the Z6 and the Z7. The FTZ adapter allows over 360 F-mount Nikkor lenses to be used on a Z series mirrorless camera with no change in image quality, and it guarantees full compatibility with over 90 Nikkor lenses. F-mount lenses mounted via the adapter can make use of the Z camera features such as hybrid AF and 3-axis in-camera vibration reduction. So I think this is a really good move by Nikon to just include this adapter with the camera. Most people that are considering the Z6 or the Z7 probably have some Nikon glass already. Anyone who shoots Nikon and has a few of those lenses, especially a few of their favorites, know how important those lenses are to them. And to be able to use those lenses right away, as soon as you get your Z6 or Z7 via this adapter, I think is really a nice touch. Now, of course, over time, anyone who moves into mirrorless will get the native mount lenses, but a lot of times, in Nikon's case right now, there aren't a lot available, and they're expensive, but a lot of that is going to change over the coming months. So to be able to use your Z6 and Z7 now with maybe one native lens and then all the Nikkor glass that you already have, I think that's terrific. Great move by Nikon, and it's, this offer is effective right now. I have an update on the Sonoma Coast workshop, and that is the next workshop that's coming around the bend. It's going to be in July. It's the Sonoma Coast Exploration Workshop, and we are going to do a variety of things. I have to tell you, I'm really excited about the itinerary as it's shaping up for this event. Now, we already have a number of paid registrations for this event, but I still have, as I'm kind of looking at things and I'm looking at the rooms that we have, we have a really great headquarters for this one too, up on a hill overlooking Doran Beach on the Sonoma coast, with deck, glass windows, full kitchen, the whole deal. It is really nice and a terrific work area again, which is so important. But I think that we have room for two more, and if you're interested in this workshop coming up in July, all you have to do, just go to the Nimble Photographer, and you can get there either through the digital story and just click on Nimble Photographer, and the page will come up where you can, all you have to do is put down a $100 deposit, and you can do that right now. And then I'll follow up with you right away and get you squared away if you want to move forward, get you more information about the workshop, all that kind of stuff, so that you can make a solid buying decision. But I'm telling you, this workshop, the Sonoma Coast Workshop, is going to be fantastic. We're going to do a mix of exploring places where movies have been filmed here in Sonoma County, and a number of movies, Hollywood movies, have been made here. So we're going to spend some time doing that. Plus, we're going to do landscape photography. Plus, we're going to do portrait photography. And then we're going to have movie night, and we're going to watch some of the films of the places that we explore and photograph ourselves in the Hollywood movie. So, I don't know. It's going to be really cool. You can just go to the digital story, and you can click on workshops there, or you can go to the show notes. You can click on the link there, or you can go to the Nimble Photographer, find the Sonoma Coast Workshop there. All very easy. If you're interested in doing something really fun this summer and spending time with your fellow photographers, like I was talking about earlier, you may want to consider this and join in on some serious fun. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the people that support our podcast month in and month out. And I have to tell you, thanks to them, thanks to their contributions. Inner Circle members make it so that I can be very choosy about the advertisers and sponsors that I have on this show so that I can deliver you a quality product. A lot of that quality comes because of the freedom I have thanks to our Inner Circle members. If you're interested in supporting this show, and I hope you do at some point, just go to any page of the Digital Story, click on the Patreon tile, and that will take you to our landing page there. You can see what's going on, and you can sign up to become an Inner Circle member. And those that are doing that right now, I thank you very much. I also want to mention that we have B&H and Amazon tiles on every page of the Digital Story. If you're going to make a purchase on B&H, or if you're going to make a purchase on Amazon, and there isn't a link to the item in the show notes, then if you would click on one of those tiles first before you go over there, that helps support the show. It's another thing that you can do to help keep this podcast rolling with the head of steam that we have right now, okay? And again, B&H and Amazon tiles, and in the second column on the Digital Story, go there first, and you'll help support the show. And then finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that provide all the tools that we need for making great images. One of the topics that came up during the Joshua Tree workshop that a number of the participants were very interested in, here we are, we're shooting all these, these wonderful images, desert landscape, close-ups of the flowers, that we ran across, starry night skies, all these different images that we're creating. They make great fine art cards. And to think about taking 6 or 8 of your favorite images from an event like this and then creating a set of 6 or 8 fine art cards that, complete with envelopes, complete with glassine sleeves, everything. I mean, they're scored. You can have your name imprinted on the back, the whole deal. You can take care of all of this at home very affordably. And then you have created art from start to finish. And these are things that you can give to people as gifts or, just as a thank you note or wherever. And believe me, they will appreciate it. They will cherish the thoughtfulness that you have bestowed upon them, knowing that the artist has shared a big part of himself or herself, with the recipient. So Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can go there and learn about everything that you need to know for printing fine art cards or anything else. There are tutorials there. All the supplies that you need are there. And then they also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I have to tell you, I'm still a little punchy from the lack of sleep. I'm the first one up in the morning and I'm the last one to bed at night during the workshops. And then I had a 9-hour drive each way. I'm so excited and I have so much adrenaline going that it sort of makes up for the lack of sleep. Come back and join me next week. I've got more stuff in the hopper. Thanks for joining me today. I'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, bye-bye now.